Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle. Today we're featuring one of my favorite people in this whole planet. So today's guest is Afia Awa. So Afia, I don't know if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing in your life.
Hi guys, my name is Afia, like Darlene mentioned. I just graduated from college in May of 2019. I was a biology major and I also had a chemistry major with a psychology minor. I do want to become a doctor, so I decided to major in biology and chemistry, but you don't necessarily have to major in either one of those. But enough of my rant.
So I actually think it's amazing the fact that ever since I knew you, so me and Afia have known each other since high school, and ever since I knew you, you knew that this is something you wanted to do. You knew you wanted to be in the pre-med track. So I guess my question for you will be, one, what made you get into this, and what kind of difference do you want to make? Like, why do you feel like it's important for you to follow this career?
Okay, so your first question to me was why?
Why?
Okay, so I grew up in Ghana, and I knew that many people living in the community that I was raised in were suffering, and I saw a lot of things that small children shouldn't be exposed to, you know. And so from a young age, I knew that I wanted to go out and help people and save lives. But I didn't necessarily know what that meant because, you know, my parents didn't finish school. And because of that, I kind of felt stuck. I kind of felt like I didn't have any guidance. And it wasn't until like I came to America and I was in school and I was getting involved in all these programs and I figured out, oh my goodness, like, hey, like I could be a doctor and I don't have to be a doctor here. I could go anywhere and be a physician. You know, I can join programs like Doctors Without Borders and really, really make a difference for people who are living in underserved communities. Even in America, like even in underserved communities in America, you know, I can go ahead and make a difference. And one thing that really, one thing that I am passionate about is being represented in the medical field. Like, I don't think people understand how much of a need Black people and Hispanic people, like how much of how much we need them in our field. To understand the language the patients speak. Not language like English, Spanish, not like my language tree, but just to understand like my walk of life, you know, just to understand certain cultures. I don't think that there are enough of us out there. And it just sucks because I want to find a way to move more people and motivate more people to go into the medical field. But it's like, how can you when we're at a disadvantage already, you know?
And do you feel like we're in a disadvantage because maybe schools don't offer certain resources?
Absolutely.
Or, like, do you feel like maybe it's schools feel like, you know what, most of these kids aren't, they can't be doctors. Because, you know, like, you get treated differently. I don't know if you get this experience, but even me, like, when I say I want to do policy or law or whatever,
people look at you.
Suddenly, you see them respect you more than they did initially.
So, I don't know, do you watch The Office,
darling? I love The Office.
Okay. Do you remember there was an episode where Michael was speaking to Daryl, who works in the warehouse? And he assumed that Daryl was in a gang.
Yeah.
You know, it's all fun and jokes, but it's true.
It's true.
And there was also an episode where there was a bunch of Black kids. I can't remember what it was about, but there was a bunch of Black kids and Michael goes, oh, they're probably not going to go they're not going to go to college anyways. You know, like it was a very funny episode, but it's crazy because it's so true that people actually think, you know, like that and think the way they do.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, like, I babysit. Well, when I was in college, I babysat. And I noticed how these people, how their children, what their children was learning. you know, and the resources they had and how they could pay for tutors and their kids were only 4 years old, you know, and how our parents had to work 2-3 jobs, you know, just to even put food on the table. It's just the disparities, and it's across the board. If one thing is affected, then everything is affected. Yeah. You know, it's like when I see these kids who go to school on 86th Street, you know, who go to Montessori schools that are purposely setting them up to become lawyers, purposely setting them up to become doctors. When you look at the demographics, you don't see African-American and Hispanic kids.
And if you do, they act like, oh,
they're so prestigious. Yes. And like, you're lucky
to even be in the same air as us.
And it's just insane, because I would drop the kids that I would babysit, I would drop them off to like Montessori and I would drop them off to Gymboree. And I would be the only Black person there. Me and the other nannies. No other Black children there. You know? And it's just, it bothers. I don't have another word to describe it, because it bothers me. It bothers me that we don't have access to these things. You know?
Yeah.
It bothers me, because I want so many of us to be great. Not saying that we're not going to. We are. You know, but I want us to have
the resources to be great. Yeah. Like, we're going to be great, but it's the fact that we have to be great despite of, instead of because of. Yeah. And so far in your experience working in this hospital, or even when you visit other hospitals, do you feel like there's an accurate representation? Do you feel like even when you do see, let's say, that one token Black doctor, do you feel like it's more them assimilating to the white culture? Like, what do you notice in those kind of environments?
So I don't really know if I should mention this, but there's not one Black doctor in where I work, not one. And where I work, there are 11 floors. That's just one building, because we have like 18 different sites in New York City. But I can put my money on it that there are less than 10 doctors who are African American that work like all together in these facilities.
But I feel like that's important for you to say. Sorry to interrupt. But I feel like that's important, because
it's an observation.
It's an observation, and it's important because maybe sometimes they don't notice.
Yeah, they don't. It's like not enough African-American and Hispanic people are sitting in the leadership position. You know, like there are many nurses, and I'm very proud of everybody who's a nurse. I think that nursing is great. It's very, very hard. But there are a lot of like African-American nurses and things like that. And I think that's important, because they have the most patient interaction. But I don't see enough of us in the leadership position. You know, everybody that sits on the board of that hospital is Caucasian. And it's like, if they keep putting each other on, how in the world are we going to get up there? You know, and even when we are up there, sometimes we feel like we don't really deserve to be, like we don't fit in, you know. Like, imagine going into a room with 1,000 people and you're the only Black person. Like when they throw their little end of the year board party meetings, and all the people, you know, from all these different sites come together and you're the only Black person, you feel it. You feel your Blackness. You do. You really, really feel it. So my observation is no, there are not. I haven't seen one African-American doctor.
And you talked about how it's important for the language and for understanding our culture, but also the health. Like, how does that affect, especially when it comes to Black and brown women?
Oh my goodness, I don't even want to tell you.
I want to know.
It's like, so I was having this conversation with my friend, because the patients that we see at Sloan, more than 90% of them are white. But you always think to yourself, is it because white people just get cancer more? Or is it because white people have better access? And the answer to that is because of the access. Cancer does not discriminate, okay? Anybody can get cancer. But who can really go to a prestigious hospital like, you know, where I work? And it's only those people who have the money for it. And it sucks that you have to have the money in order to be healthy, you know?
Yeah.
Like with an illness like cancer, I remember it's crazy because one of the two, you know, a couple of Jewish holidays just passed. Our hospital was silent. Silent. When it's not a Jewish holiday, we see over 400 people. Wow. But when it is, I think one day we had 16 people. So that really tells you, like, who has access? Who's getting access to better healthcare? Who's getting access to better treatment? You know, where they're able to live longer. Like, what? It just, oof, just bothers me.
Yeah, because it's like, it's a natural right that everybody should have. Mm-hmm. But, and people say like, oh, not everything has to do with race, but it's all interconnected. Yeah, because when you do talk about socioeconomic statuses,
you are intertwining race with that.
Exactly. So when you don't see Black and brown women, and then you read a lot of these stories of Black and brown women being misdiagnosed, mm-hmm. or being gaslighted when they have certain symptoms. And then once they do catch that ovarian cancer, mm-hmm. or that it's breast cancer, it's too late. And they're sending you to your...
attention to them. Yeah.
Nobody. And then you get somewhere, mm-hmm. to the local Lincoln Hospital, mm-hmm. where...
that's Lincoln is.
Yeah. If I'm dying, let me die before you take me to Lincoln.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Like, just
Lincoln is just not good.
It's terrible. And but why? Because the funding. Because the you're the literally location. You have a whole community, mm-hmm. the location, but also the community that it serves. It's like
they don't care about us.
They don't.
And not enough people realize. I feel like people just brush it off the shoulder. They're just like, okay, that's not really how it is. Or, okay, they don't care about us. And then everybody just moves on, you know? Yeah,
they think it's
not enough people care that they don't care about us. Not enough people are aware. I remember for orientation, there was over 500 of us being employed by my job. And they sat us all in this big, 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 beautiful, beautiful ballroom. And they had like 1,000 pictures of, you know, all the doctors and the founders of this place. And not one person on that wall was Black. Not one person. Everybody was just white. Everybody. Like, and they were just, I remember they told us, they said, look around. Take a look around at where we were and where we are now. And... you know, you it just sucks, but your mind just wanders, or my mind wandered. I was just like, where are the Black people? Like, I'm looking around at these pictures, and it's pictures of white people who were most likely racist, you know, who would most likely not be happy that I'm working in the place
there. Or think you know, that you got into a special mm-hmm. program.
Like, oh, but let me tell you, some of the patients we treat are like 120 years old. They still fix their mouth to call some of us niggers. You're battling cancer. You're 115 years old, and you still fix your mouth to say things like that to us.
Yeah. But, you know, I also think that just you being there, even the fact that you're the one treating them and you shouldn't have to deal with them and their racism and their bigotry, mm-hmm. but that's a slap in the face in itself. It's like... yeah, well, who's wearing the white coat right now? Or who's the one that's treating you, you know? Mm-hmm. And
they just still find a way to make you feel small, no matter, in whatever high position you're in.
Because that's the only thing that they have left to make them feel big, mm-hmm. you know? And that's their own personal issues that they should seek mental health mm-hmm. resources for, because they got that access and the money to do so, unlike some of us in our communities. But it's like... what does that mean to you? Because when we talk about breaking the cycle, when we talk about what it means to break the cycle, how do you feel like just you existing, you going to work every day, you dressing as sharp as you do, and being very, I'm sure you can tell 15 minutes into this interview that Afia is a very confident and self-assured young lady. So and the way you speak, it's like, period.
Mm-hmm.
Period. This is a statesman. This is what it is. So, one, I want to know how you got to be that way. Like, how did you get to develop and evolve into somebody that's so sure of herself in a world and in a society where they don't want you to be?
So, I personally really do believe in the power of, like, home training and having people you love really instill that sense of confidence in you. I grew up around very, very powerful, strong-willed women. My mother doesn't hold her tongue for anybody. Neither do my sisters. My brother sure as hell doesn't. So if I'm being raised by those people, or if I'm constantly surrounded by those people, what in the world made me think that I was going to come out any different, you know? So I always stand my ground. And my thing is, I think when I open my mouth, people are shocked at how I sound and how I speak. I remember somebody was talking to me. And before I even got to open my mouth and say anything, the person used this word. The word was egregious, and they then defined the word for me after using the word. Mm-hmm. They were just like, something, something, something egregious. Oh, egregious means blah, 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 as if I didn't understand what the hell it meant. Had I been a Caucasian, you know, that wouldn't have been defined for me. It would have been assumed that I knew what the word meant. But not to go off a rant, but I just feel like that's how I am, or that's why I am the way I am, because I grew up around people who were very, 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 very strong. And I'm not going to take anybody's shit. Why? Why should I? For what? You know? No. I knew that, I don't know.
But how do you use that to break the cycle? Like, how do you feel like that helps you every day break a cycle? Or what cycles are you breaking?
Because I feel like if you look up to somebody who stands up for themselves, and you look up to somebody who, you know, constantly educates themselves, then you probably would want to do the same for yourself. So I've just seen enough people who are in the position that I want to be in, and that's why I am the way I am. Because I know... You know, I know that I want to follow in their lead. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect okay. sense. Do you feel like, and you talked a little bit about it earlier, but, you know, not only in a medical sense, do you feel like you have a purpose? Or do you feel like you found your purpose?
I feel like, I don't feel like I've found my purpose just yet. I'm not where I want to be yet. I do want to go back to Ghana and... make a real difference. I really want to build schools, and I want to build a hospital, and I just really want to help my country. I really, really, really do. And like, I don't like that white savior complex bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be that person who did it for my country, and especially because I'm a woman, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like people really doubt women. But we are, no doubt, the strongest creatures on the face of this planet. Like, I don't know. You can absolutely argue with your mom, because I just don't give a fuck. But I definitely know that we are the strongest creatures on this earth. And I've been surrounded by people who are just as strong as I am. Like Darlene here, who's interviewing me. We should ask her some questions, because she has a really, really, really good head on her shoulders. And she doesn't take shit like I do. And fun fact, we actually didn't like each other. And it's because we were both so stubborn. But I think being stubborn pays off in the end. I'm not saying go ahead and just start being stubborn out of nowhere. But I do think it pays off in the end.
When you ask a lot of people, like, about me, the first sentence they'll say is, we actually didn't like each other at first. But then she grew on me. She grew. Yeah. And the thing is, like you said, like, and some of those people, like Afia, are some of the closest people to my heart and some of the most inspirational people to me. Like, they motivate me constantly. Because even though she's doing medicine, I'm doing policy. They have nothing to do.
Yeah.
They connect, and it's for a better world.
Yeah.
We've always connected, even when we weren't connected.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, when you're a woman, and then sometimes it's that feeling of, I gotta be the one in the room that's like that. So when there's all these personalities, and part of evolving and growing, especially with a community of color, is realizing, oh, there's enough greenness in us for all of us. Like, before this interview started, we were talking about, you're gonna be rich, I'm gonna be rich, this person's gonna be rich, this person's gonna be rich.
You need to surround yourself with people with like-minded people. I'm telling you, it really does make a difference when you surround yourself with people who like want to be great, or whose focus is on, you know, just making a difference. I'm telling you, like, it, I don't think people understand to the extent that like other people's energy and other people's vibes really has an impact on you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It really, really, really does. It influences you to do better or to not do better. You know? Just watching your friends succeed drives you to be successful.
Yeah, because when we talk about being rich, we're also talking about money, but it's like we're already rich.
I want to be happy.
We want to be happy and mentally. And
I want to do it for my Black people.
Yes,
like I'm telling you,
and even in our respective countries, mm-hmm. like me, yes. Dominican Republic, yes. You don't know what's coming to you soon. Yes, like in the next 20 years, like I'm trying to change the education system because I think the goal isn't just us going back and helping people. Mm-hmm. It's I need you to have the same opportunities mm-hmm. I have. Because when you go back to these countries, you think like, you know, I can complain about where I live in New York, in America. I'm in America. Mm-hmm. And the only difference between the opportunities, even though limited, the opportunities and the privileges that I have that you don't have mm-hmm. is a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair. Think about how many Ophias exist mm-hmm. in Ghana right now.
Think about how many people that don't live in America that already discovered the cure to cancer, that already discovered the cure to Hutchinson's disease. And what? They won't publicize that because what? They're not American. They're not, you know, white. And they don't have that education. You know, it just really bothers me because when people have like a life that's just limited, people find a way to do things and to entertain themselves and to educate themselves. The smartest, most intelligent people I know did not go to school. Hey, I'm not telling you not to go to school, but I'm just saying, like, the smartest and the most intelligent people that I know did not go to school because they learned a lot of these things from struggling and from suffering and just trial and error. So,
and they make the best out of their circumstances. Like I was just telling somebody today about Malcolm X and how everybody looks at Malcolm X like this Black revolutionary hero. He is. But my favorite thing about Malcolm X isn't
I just love that he used violence. He wasn't afraid to just fucking go.
If you would have met Malcolm Little before he was Malcolm X, when he was 23, robbing people, smoking weed, gambling, you would have been like, this is nothing. He's never going to be anything. This man went to jail, by the way, dropped out in third grade because they told him he couldn't be a lawyer because he was Black. This man went to jail, read the entire library, and got a college education in jail just by reading. And then he comes here, and the biggest thing that you know Malcolm X for is his oratory skills and just the fact that he's knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. He's an intellectual.
Where did he come from?
The South, but I don't know a specific place. Okay. But I remember, like, he told us, he's trying to be a lawyer, and the teacher was like, you're Black, stop playing. And he was like, okay, I'm never coming back. But it's just a show. When you want something, when there's a will, there's a way. Mm. And there's so many stories that are untold of our people specifically, Black and brown people, that we don't know, but they've made the best of their circumstances. Mm-hmm. And they've done whatever they needed to do to uplift their community.
And that's why I look up to people like us, you know, because we, no matter what, we make the best of any situation that we're put in, you know, and we grind like nobody's business, like nobody's business.
I agree. Okay, so another question I would have for you, Ophia, now mm-hmm. that I have your wisdom and your presence here, is what would you say to yourself? What advice would you give to the Ophia that was 15 years old?
That's a very interesting question, because if I could go back in time, I would tell myself, I would literally tell myself, like, it's going to be okay. Like, I remember I would just panic because I want to be a doctor, as I told you earlier. But I never knew the way. And I knew that my parents didn't have the money to take me to tutoring and all these fancy things. And I used to be so like brainwashed and think the only way I could be a doctor is if my parents, you know, had the money to take me to these big tutoring companies and pay for me to have tutoring twice a week and I would just be Einstein. No, you don't. Okay. YouTube has been my best friend. Okay. In college, I use YouTube for everything and I use my resources. And I know that there are people out there who want to help. Okay. So I've taken advantage. I've exhausted all of those. So if I could just go back in time, I would tell myself, like, hey, you're going to be okay. That's what I was freaking out about then. I was freaking out about the fact that how in the world am I going to find these resources to help me? You know, who really wants to help me? Like, I didn't feel like anybody was genuine, but I found some real genuine people in my life who constantly motivate me, you know, and who I look up to. I follow a lot of Instagram pages for Black girls and Hispanic girls and guys that really are just there to uplift us, you know? And I just want to go back in time and just tell myself, like, hey, you're going to be okay. You're going to find people. Through those pages, I found this program I did last summer, you know, which allowed me to shadow a bunch of doctors. So I would just tell myself, like, you're going to be okay. You're going to find your way. Trust the process, as people like to say. Trust the process.
Trust the process, even if you don't know what's coming. And even the challenges that appear, they make you not only stronger, but they test you. Like, I once read somewhere that an obstacle is just a test of how much you really want something. And ever since I read that, I realized, like, nothing can stop me unless I allow it to. Because you are, in the end, you're your biggest obstacle. Yeah. You are your biggest failure. And you fail when you don't keep going, when you don't keep trying, you know? And it's an evolving mindset. Like, speaking as someone that's known this girl forever, she's always been like this. Like, she was the girl that was like, I need to pass this class. I don't have time to talk to you. I don't have time to engage in these shenanigans that you are engaging in, because I got a goal. I got a pathway. I know what I want to do. And to see you here, it's humbling. I swear to God, it's inspiring. Like, I'm listening to you like if I was, like, listening to my podcast and not a part of it. And, like, sometimes you're talking and I want to keep hearing more. But I think the most amazing part is this is just the beginning of the beginning. Like, this, I can't even imagine who you're going to be in the next 5 years. Yeah. Next time we're going to be, you know.
Look at where you are. If I tell you stories about Darlene in high school, I see this girl just roaming around, sleeping in this one class we had together, Miss Tavares. You all know her. And now look, she found her passion. She found something that I always knew she was passionate about, history, you know, because that was a very interesting subject. Unfortunately, we had a shit teacher. So, but I'm also very proud of her. You know, she found her passion. And you know when you find your passion, because you don't really feel like it's a job, like it's a task, yes. Like, oh, I have to come here every day. You know, like you wake up and you're like, okay, I have to go there. All right. I'm happy. I'm going to spend 8 hours of my day there, but it's doing something that I enjoy. Yeah. So it's not like I'm going to keep looking at the time every 2 minutes, like, oh, shit, when is it going to pass by? When is it going to pass by? So I just want to give a shout out to Miss Darlene here.
Thank you, babe.
Just let her know that. You know, we see her. She's doing good.
Yeah. She's and it's like, great. This is, for me, it means a lot to hear you say that. But for me, it's like, it's everybody. Everybody around me. Everybody like me. Everybody who just, because sometimes we want to win and we really don't know how. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you were talking about. Like, a lot of times it's like, we don't have an idea. You know, we all know the woman or the man that we're meant to be. But the biggest question is always, how do I get there? And that's life. Life is literally the gap between who you are and who you want to be. Exactly. So that's what I want from everybody. That's why I hold these kind of conversations. And one more question.
Okay.
So we're talking about breaking cycles. You're literally just you being you, the bad bitch that you are. You're breaking cycles. What do you think is the key, like, if you had to use a word or a sentence, what is the key ingredient to breaking the cycle?
I think, wow, that's hard. But I think this is my favorite word ever. Perseverance, persistence, endurance, and consistency.
That's four words.
I know. I'm sorry. but one doesn't go without the other, you know?
Yeah.
you have to persevere, but you also have to, you know, endure painful things. And when you do that, you have to be consistent. You know, you have to constantly go at what you want. You know, when an obstacle comes in your way, okay, what's next? Let me get over this hurdle, but what's next? So to breaking the cycle, I think that that's the mindset that people need to have. You know, when one door closes in your face, okay, which wall am I breaking down? Which one? You know, another one is not going to open. So which wall am I going to break down? I think not enough people think out the box, you know, and I think that we have to really start sitting with ourselves and sitting with, you know, people who are really, really passionate about breaking the cycle. Because the cycle can absolutely be broken. There are many, many, many aspects and many faces to breaking the cycle. And I'm not going to act like I know it all because I don't. I literally don't. But I know that if we like continue to persevere and we're consistent with what we want and we have our focus and our end goal in mind, I think we'll be okay. I do.
I really honestly could not have said it better myself. Thank you so much for joining me in this podcast. This has been such a beautiful conversation. Guys, Afia doesn't have Instagram. She's taking a break.
I'm taking a break.
A self-care break. But
I am.
If God forbid, I'll be back soon. You know, God forbid any of you get sick or in an accident or something terrible happens to you, and you're in the hospital and the person that you see attending you is Afia, you better believe that God loves you and thank God because you are about to be saved.
Yes, we love it. Thank you so much,
darling. So thank you so much for listening to Break the Cycle. And continue to break the cycle every day, guys. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.